We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, and Bill Kerr in
Hancock's Half Hour.
Sid?
Bill? I want a word with you two.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, Bobby, what does he look like?
I fail to see any cause for undue hilarity.
You understand what I am. If you're wearing those clothes for the bet, you won. Oh, Bobby, what a twit you look.
I don't know what you mean. If you're referring to my slightly unconventional mode of dress, I'll admit it must seem a little different to you bourgeoisie, but to we bohemians, it's quite normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill clobber.
Oh, you're not going out in the street like that, are you?
Well, I see no reason why I shouldn't. As it happens, I'm not going to, but I see no reason why I shouldn't.
I'm not going out with you like that.
I can't understand what all the fuss is about. Nothing out of the ordinary in this lot. Blue and white striped stocking cap. Own woven vegetable fibre shirt. Canvas trousers and fisherman rope sandals. Not exactly shipping clerk gear, I admit. But nevertheless, indicative of my new state of mind. My friends and I are rebelling against conformity.
What do they wear?
Well, the same as this, of course. We're the avant-garde of a new culture. We are dedicated to setting up a new order of things, determined to establish a new set of values, to break away from the bonds that threaten to stifle the cultural and creative activities of man's mind.
Oh, blimey, another load of layabouts.
We are not layabouts. We are artists, Mush. Writers, poets, thinkers, all men who are seriously perturbed about the state of the world at the moment.
And what are you lot going to do about it?
We are going to show the world the real truth by setting them an example, developing our superior intellects. Culture, mate. That's where the hope of the world lies. And a more cultural mob than us you wouldn't find outside the Chelsea embankment. 27 throbbing intellects, raring to go.
Can I join?
No, you can't.
What exactly does this mob do?
Well, we meet every night down the coffee bar and we chat.
I haven't seen you.
Not the one you go to. Oh, no. Not El Castanetto. That's bourgeois, that is. We go to the one done up like a graveyard. We sit on the old cardboard tombstones round the plastic coffins and we indulge in philosophical analysis. We formulate our plans for our brave new world. Gladys takes it down in her notebook. And when she's filled it up, we're going to publish it. We're calling it A Thesis on the Reconciliation of Homo Sapiens in Relationship with His Natural Destiny and the Theory of Selective Evolution.
Yes, sounds marvellous. They'd probably make a film of it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. A musical. I can just see it. When you've got Homo Sapiens and selective evolution. La-dee-da-dee.
Are you taking the mickey?
Well, I ask you, what a load of old rubbish you talk sometimes.
I wouldn't expect you to understand the outlook with an intellectual like me. I mean, let's face it, you've never been one for new movements, have you? You've always been complacent, haven't you? You're not particularly bothered about the impending stagnation of Western civilization, are you?
No, not really. As long as my horses don't stagnate, I don't care what happens.
Exactly. The struggle of the human race is nothing compared with your struggle up to the two-bob window at Cheltenham, is it?
No, it's not.
Exactly. Reactionary you are. Dead reactionary. You epitomize the very people the East Team Cultural Progressive Society are fighting.
Who?
The East Gene Cultural Progressive Society, that's us. The ECCPS. Or the ECPAS, as we are known locally.
Well, really, when you add it all up, it's a bit tacky, isn't it?
Tacky? We're the hope of the world, mate. We are a collection of kindred spirits who are all revolting against the establishment.
How long have you been at it?
3 days. I was lost like you two.
A useless vacuum, wandering in the wilderness of futility. No purpose in life. Then it happened. Last Thursday night, it was, I heard a group talking in the coffee bar. It was like opening a new door. Everything seemed to suddenly fall into place. These are the people I've been looking for, I thought. And I asked if I could join them. They weren't keen at first. They weren't sure if my intellect was of a sufficiently high standard. But I bought them a cup of coffee all round, and they let me join.
All right, then. Now, let's be honest. We know why you joined. You fancied the sandals, didn't you?
My dress is merely a symbol of my hatred of convention.
Chubb, can I borrow your razor?
You can keep it. I won't be needing it anymore. I'm growing a beard.
Well, you are. And, of course, you're letting your hair grow long.
1 inch below the shoulders, regulation length. Unless you're a female, then you can have whatever length you like. Most of them have crew cuts.
Please let me join, Chubb. I'll grow a beard and let my hair grow long.
No. We don't want you. We'd be conscious of you.
Well, I wouldn't make any noise.
We'd know you were there. It'd have put us right off our contemplating. How could we concentrate on reshaping the world with you sitting there, scratching your head? I'm sorry, both of you would be completely out of place, which is why I want you out of here by 7 o'clock.
What for?
It's Thursday night.
Well?
Thursday night's our poetry reading classes.
Oh, no. You're not having that bunch of scruff bags round here.
May I remind you, this is my house. I shall invite just who I like. And if you don't approve, you can load your horse and cart and leave.
Why can't I underground one of their houses?
Because I'm the only one in the group who's got a house.
Haven't got houses.
Where do they live?
Well, 10 of them live in a basement under the pet shop. 7 live on a boat on the canal. And the other 15 of them live with them.
Don't they do any work?
Oh, please, Sidney, work, work. Work is the biggest restrictor of men's minds. Can't allow themselves to be hampered by the menial, soul-destroying labor of everyday jobs. Work to them represents the establishment, and they're against that.
Well, what do they live on, then?
National assistance.
Oh. They're not against that part of the establishment, then.
Don't you ever understand?
Well, who's providing the food and drink for the poetry reading classes?
Well, I am, of course.
Oh, they got no objections to you going out to work and owning a house and having money, then?
Well, the question has been raised. My having money is a bit of embarrassment to their aims, really, but they suggested I get rid of it.
Well, they're doing their best to help you. Open the door. The outsiders are outside. Well, I'm off, and I'm taking my bottle of brown ale out of the sideboard. I'm not letting any outsiders get outside of that.
Now, don't go. I'd like you to stay. I'd like you to listen to the poetry reading. It might convince you that these people have a great talent to offer the world.
Yeah, let's stay, sir. It might be a giggle.
Ah, welcome, brethren. Come in, come in. Welcome to my home.
Now, Anthony, dear boy. So this is where you live?
Yes. Do you like it, Gregory?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think I do. I'm definitely getting turquoise vibrations.
What's he talking about?
I don't know.
The vibrations. The house is giving off definite vibrations.
That's the trains going by.
Who are these persons?
They're friends of mine, Gregory. There's Sidney James here. William Kerr. This is the leader of our group, Gregory.
Gregory what?
Just Gregory. We never use surnames in our group. They're very bourgeois. I suppose you'll be leaving shortly.
Well, actually, no. I've asked them to stop for the poetry reading. They live here with me, see?
Good heavens. Still, I suppose it's quite an interesting experiment, actually living with these people.
He's getting up my nose, this bloke.
I suppose you sort of watch them and make notes.
Well, I...
You're working on a thesis on the mental workings of the lower order of the species.
Oh, dear. He's going to get my fist right through that beard in a minute.
Sid, Sid, please, no punch-ups, not yet. Come and meet the other members. This is Greta.
How do you do?
Oh, my word. I've seen some birds in my... Look at that. All lank hair and wooden beads. How do you do? I'm pleased to make your acquaintance.
Hiya, doll. How about you and me whizzing down to the pub? There's a piano down there. It's talent night tonight in the saloon bar. Are you musical?
I can only tolerate Bartok and Weber.
Well, that's all right. Sing a couple of their songs. The lads won't mind.
What an intriguing little savage you are.
Bill, come away. Come away. I must apologize, Reed. He's not one of us. He's very suburban in his musical taste. He doesn't appreciate the finer points of classical music like we Gilbert and Sullivan fans. By the way, dear, I know it's against all group ethics to consider such things important, but I must say I like your turnout tonight.
Well, thank you. Do you really?
Oh, yes, very individual. The elongated eyebrows touching the ear hole certainly gets me going. And the blue lipstick sets it off marvellously. I think, without a doubt, you're the weirdest looking one here tonight.
Well, that's very kind of you. I do my best.
Well, shall we start? We've got many important new works to read.
By all means, I'll get some chairs.
But they won't be necessary. I mean, we don't use chairs. Chairs are a symbol of unproductive work, the furnishings of a decadent society.
Of course, I have realized. You'll take the chairs out and burn them, horrible suburban bric-a-brac. Well, then, what do we do then? Stand around?
My dear fellow, haven't you read your handbook? I mean, it definitely states that cultural meetings of the group, such as poetry reading, the members shall adopt postures in keeping with the intellect of the individual without sacrificing the mood of the work. We are thus irrevocably united as a group in relationship to the poem being read.
I see. Well, you start, and I'll sort of stand loosely about so I can sort of slide into something as soon as it comes over me. Yeah.
Yes, well, we'll commence with the work by myself. I have entitled it Tin Can.
Tin Can? Tin Can. Yes, let's see. I think I'll lean up against the fireplace with one arm up, suggesting the lid's been open.
Oh, look at him.
Quiet, please, everyone. I can't get in the mood with talking going on, can I? Right. Tin Can by Gregory. Flish, slash, long. Wooden shoes, red socks, coffins, tombstones, and tranquilizers.
Very good, very significant.
I haven't finished, have I?
Oh, I'm finished.
Aspirins and driving tests, jet planes and skeletons, fog singing to egg timer, calendars and candles, upside down, plastic apples on coconut, please. Splish, splash. Splunk.
Is that it?
Yes, that is it.
A marvelous. Wish I could write like that. Are you all right? By Jove, you look washed out there.
Sorry. It's just the emotional strain of reading. It's just the vibration sapped my energy.
Yes, I know. It is a pity we burnt the chairs. We could have had a nice cigar.
Did you like the poem?
Like it? It was sensational. What an emotional experience. I haven't heard anything like that since The Road to Mandalay. Who's next?
Rupert.
Oh, we haven't got another one. Bill, let's get the booze out.
Do you mind? If you can't appreciate the delicacy of the works, you might at least have the courtesy to keep your cake hole closed.
I've called this poem Blank Details.
Ah, yes. Blank Details, yes. Let's see now. I feel a sort of purple mood coming over me. I think for this I shall sit cross-legged on the floor, yogi style, with one foot tucked behind my neck. Hang on a minute. Hang on a sec. Right. I'm in. Proceed.
Blank Detail by Rupert. Straw in the wind. 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 Fly, fly, fly.
Marvelous.
Can I read my poem now?
Pardon?
I've just written a poem. Can I read it?
I somehow don't think the sort of poems you write will be suitable for this gathering. We are not interested in young ladies from various parts of the country.
Oh, no. I've written an abstract poem.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. One has to be sympathetic with the symbolism of existence to turn out that sort of stuff.
Oh, no, let's hear what the little savage has written. It might provide some light relief after the intensity of the last two offerings.
Oh, very well. Make it quick and keep it clean.
Thank you. Incandescence by William. Hick, hack, hawk.
rinky-tinky on purple grass. Shafts of light. Hobnailed boots tramping down the bamboo that grows upwards, downwards, sideways into the concrete cosmos. Life is mauve. I am orange. Pick Hickok.
What a load of rubbish. You buffoon. Rinky tinky on purple grass. What does that mean? You're orange and life is mauve. I have never heard such unadulterated codswallop in my life.
How dare you speak to a genius like that? I'll never be able to write such masterpieces as that.
But he's a dolt. He can't do anything.
Can't do anything? In a few brilliantly conceived lines, he's summed up the human capacity for suffering and his struggle for survival.
Oh, come now, Gregory. Surely it was empty, devoid of any symbolism. You made a mistake. He fooled you for a moment. Analyze it. Bamboo. Old nail boots. Well, it doesn't mean anything to me, mate. My order of perception didn't even wobble. Peter, what do you think?
Well, it was like a revelation. It transported me to another plane. For the first time, I saw the fifth dimension, like a golden flash cleaving the skies. I was transported to the heights of delirium.
See what you've done now? She's off. Why don't you keep quiet when there's ladies present?
Life is mauve. I am orange. It says everything. I suggest we call it the last poem. There's nothing left to write about now. How do you do it?
Oh, well, I didn't think it was that good. It wasn't one of the best.
Oh, this man, what an intellect. He's passed through the gate of perception and he says it wasn't one of his best. Would you do us the honor of taking over the leadership of our group?
Oh, well, I...
Oh, this is madness.
Look, I've written a poem.
I am talking to the master.
Don't make any hasty decisions. Listen to mine. Listen. The Ashtray by Anthony.
Steel rods of reason through my head. Salmon jumping where jump I.
Camels on fire.
And spotted clouds. Striped horses cross the meadow wild. And rush on to drink at life's fountains deep. Life is cream. I am Puce Ching Chang Chola.
How dare you revile the group with such shallow, trivial nonsense?
It was as good as his. What's the matter with you? It's too deep for you, that's the trouble.
Well, what does it mean?
What does it mean? Well, I should have thought that was obvious. It's a plea for the... Well, it's more of an outcry against the, It's an outcry against the licensing laws.
Oh, now. Let's spill it up a bit. Now then. You take, for a start, the camels on fire under the spotted clouds. Now, there's a provocative line, if ever I've heard one. In that, I've summed up the whole situation in the Gobi Desert. And life's fountains deep. Well, it's a plea for more water holes. That's why the camels are on fire. They're gasping. They haven't had a drop to drink since they left Kabul. It's a very long trip, Kabul.
And Ching Chang Chola?
Well, they're the drivers. You won't get me chained out of them. Now, they couldn't care less. As long as they got their striped horses, they're quite happy. Well, ask him to explain his thing. Go on, see what rubbish he comes out with.
There's no need to ask him. The words speak for themselves in every throbbing line. Will you admit telling us that life is a fraud? That we are merely insects existing on the tail of a turtle?
Did you tell him that?
Well, you heard the poem. I thought it would have been obvious.
Oh, don't listen to him. He's having you on.
can't make a nitwit like him leader of the group. Sid, of course, Sid, my only ally, now the truth will come out. Go on, Sid, expose him. Tell him what a poltroon he is.
Who?
Well, him, this is the witless wonder here. Hurry up, tell him before they have the laurel wreath on his head.
What, him, William? The greatest intellect ever to come out of Australia?
A legendous boy of 13, the wandering Einstein of Queensland, they called him. What are you hoping to get out of this?
Yes, of course, it only confirms what his work has already told us. I mean, he's obviously a man between literacy and learning. A worthy successor to me. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I, Gregory, hereby will increase leadership of our group and invest you, William, with all the powers, titles, and privileges that go with it.
Titles and privileges. So that's what you're up to, Mr. James. You've been sitting there reading the rule book. Show me that. The leader of the group receives from levies from the other members a remuneration of no less than £500 per year, so that he may be exempted from the need to work and may spend all his time on contemplation and intellectual pursuits. 500 a year, is this right, Gregory?
Oh, yes, and his lieutenant gets 350.
Who's his lieutenant?
It says here, the leader has the privilege of choosing his own lieutenant.
At 350 a year?
Yes.
And that's what you're after. Well, you've had that, because it also says here that the leader can only choose for his lieutenant a man who has proved his intellectual qualifications by having produced an original cultural piece of work.
Exactly. I shall now read an abstract poem. Which I just happen to have written. Limbo by Sydney.
Now, this is getting farcical. I should have this job.
Quiet, please, everyone. Sydney's going to read to us.
Mauve world, green me. Black him, purple her. Yellow us, pink you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Lead pipes, fortune made. Six to four, coming second. Green country, blue Haringey and white city, hick I got.
I can't take any more. All this sensuous excitement in one evening. What an experience to hear such beauty, such translucent symbolism. How you must know life, Sydney.
Oh, I do, boy.
How you must have suffered to produce work like that.
Suffered? There's been murder sometimes.
I say, we must have Sydney as our leader's lieutenant.
You don't know what you're saying. He's a fake. He's only after the loot. Why, before you came in, he was saying what a load of idiots you are.
We are idiots compared with him.
Sydney. Sydney, I feel the vibrations between us growing stronger and stronger. Some red, some yellow.
All right, Lassie. We'll sort them out later, eh?
Sydney, will you do us the honor of becoming our second in command?
Certainly, boy. Be a pleasure.
Wait, he's taking you on. It's the cider you've been drinking. It's inflamed your senses. Look, I've written another poem. It's better than his. Jake was a coward, a great big fellow with a turned up nose.
Will you get out?
It's a funny old world we live in, but the world's not entirely to blame. It's the rich what get the pleasure and the poor what get the blame.
Sling him out, he's a troubler, dog.
Yes,
right, man. It's my house, you can't throw me out. It's my house. Here you are, then here's one. The highwayman. He wore a French cocked hat in his forehead and a bunch of lace at his chin. And the highwayman came riding with his whiskers soaked in gin. No? All right, here you are then.
Sling him out
of here. No, put me down, I'll have the law on you. Lay about, get back to work. Use this members of society, parasite. There's a green eyed yellow eyes to the south of Kathmandu. A little wooden cask about the town. Have you? I still remember. He was pouring the snow on the equator, and the icebergs were melting fast. I can't be bothered with him. I'll go down to the coffee house. There's bound to be another movement started up since yesterday. I'll start one of my own. How did that poem of Sid's go now? Mauve world, green me. Black him, purple her. That's it. That'll get them. A breakaway group. We'll be anti-everything. The new intellectual movement to shake the world. Or shall I go to the pictures?
Yes, I might as well. I think that's more my hammer, really. Cab!
That was Hancock South Eye, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Vanetta Fielding, Fraser Kerr, and Warren Mitchell. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. Alan Simpson and Ray Dalton wrote the script, and the program, which was recorded, was produced by Tom Rummel.